Hello.
Hey, Al. What's today?
It's a lot of things today.
It's Mother's Day.
It's Yom Zikaron.
It's Eden's Hebrew birthday.
And
And I don't know. Those are the three things that I had.
yeah, that's I'm sure there are more things.
It's bad.
But we just got back from a tekkes at 126, led by Rabbi Joe for Yom HaZikaron.
Ceremony, memorial ceremony.
Yeah.
How was it for you?
It's crazy. I mean, it's interesting because it's a community of Olim, basically, that is a part of that showed up to the tekkes, and two people that spoke. They had different community members speak about people who they've lost. And two of the community members mentioned, who were both Olim, mentioned that from America, Yom HaZikaron is a day that feels meaningful from like an ideological perspective, but it's not personal. They don't know somebody. And even on the way to the tekkes, I was saying that to Kevin, that I was saying to you, like, it's more personal because we live here and now we know so many more people. And this year was hell. Like Rabbi Joe started off by talking about like the statistics of like who's been killed from terrorism, how many soldiers we've lost since the founding of the state. Is that what he said?
He said even earlier from
Even
1860,
earlier, 1860. Yeah,
which I guess is like really
the
when,
first
like,
wave of Zionism.
not Zionism, Ali, like then
Aliyahs.
big Aliyah waves in modern times, even though they were relatively small in the 1800s. But that from 1860 to 2023, I think he said it was about 4,200 people who have been killed from terror in the state of Israel. And now it was like around 5,100.
Just from last year.
Just from like an increase in this last year, and it's been like slowly increasing, but not a jump of 900 people or however much that
20% more.
explained. Yeah.
So it now, like, it's funny because I always say Israelis, but we are Israelis now. Like, I don't quite identify as Israeli. Like, I'm American Israeli, but I'm Israeli. I have my tzu'ut, I have my ID card, I have my Israeli phone number. What else makes me Israeli? Just those things.
I don't know, the fact that we
My prefix is here.
send our daughter to a school that's in Hebrew.
Most of the time. But yeah, it's becoming more personal. It's becoming more personal. But still, we're still lucky in the sense that it's not a direct, nothing super, super direct, like someone that we would speak to every day.
Yeah. Yeah, I have friends whose cousins and my brother's a former commander and the medic of his unit, like, and at his wedding, which was in the December, like, they had t-shirts, remembering his former commander.
Who died like a week before the wedding?
Yeah, it was like a
He was
week and
there
a
in
half
person.
or 2 weeks before his wedding in December. But yeah, it just feels really, really thick in the air. There's a park bench that we pass by every day on the corner of our street that has like a little
Memorial.
memorial sign on it. And as we were walking to this tekkes, this ceremony, we saw people like probably, young 20s lighting memorial candles under that bench that has that little plaque. And there's always a bouquet of flowers there and some pictures of someone who was killed. And right across from that restaurant, there's Romy, who's one of the people who was stolen and kidnapped. Romy Gonen, who used to work at that restaurant. And they have a empty like seat and a little picture of her with her age, and says kidnapped. And that's also like another element of this Yom HaZikaron, not only like the numbers, but
That we have in category, in Rabbi Joe's words.
that like there's always been like
It's not just terror victims, it's not just soldiers, Now there's also Hatufim. There's also these captains that in our childhood growing up, we always knew a name of a soldier or someone who was held captive in Gaza, right? Gilad Shalit or whoever. But now it's 132 people.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just so terrible and like pervasive. Hell. It's really sad. Some of the people they were talking about, like, first person was Omer Saviv, and the second person was someone named Yonadav Levinstein, who were both killed in battle, and they both had 1 month left of their service when they were killed. They were like,
they were almost out of the clear.
Yeah. I don't know. Something about that was like so like peace, serenity, like security. It always feels like so close, like it's around the corner. Like we're just not there. And then like,
but at the same time, I think there's also the element of like, and you feel it acutely here. And it's always like uncomfortable with the idea of when you hear that someone's been killed, you hold your breath and you're like, do I know the name? Do I know the name? But like, you know that someone knows the name. You know, it's someone's person, even if it's not your person. Yeah. And that's like a hard thing to just grapple with. Like, they had 1 month left, but it's someone else, you know? Someone needed to be serving at that place. And
yeah. It's such a hard thing. And being here, like, there are, you know, we've met a lot of people who now are being called back to serve in Rafah or Rafiah.
Husbands, fathers.
Yeah. And good friends, like, parents of kids at Argan. So, like, Eden has two parents who could pick her up at Gan, and other parents, like only the mom is able to because the husband is in Rafah or along the border, right, north or south. And then the other part that was like a little heart-wrenching for me was someone, Zach was talking about his commander, Omri David. And he was saying that they were also like all holding their breath when they heard about this attack that happened in November. He was saying how like it's been really hard for their unit, but they're, you know, they're not sure this summer when they get called back up. Like they already have call ups for June, July, where they know that they're going to be serving the country for some amount of time. And just the sense of like, we're mourning, but we're also like, people know that they're going back and that there's this like underlying assumption that there's going to be more. It's just a heavy element to the mourning isn't over, the sense of holding our breath. Like we're still holding our breath for what's going to happen and for the people who are now there.
Yeah, but it also makes me incredibly proud of our country and of the people that are in our communities and the people, like, everyone's doing incredible things here, like, truly incredible and sacrificial. Like, Douglas Murray just won an award, and honestly, Barry Weiss, because Kevin always says to, when we play it on our Google Home, it doesn't understand Barry Weiss when we say Barry Weiss. So he's like, play honestly with Barry Weiss. So that's literally why it slipped. So I was reading Barry Weiss's newsletter that came out, the Free Press, and they published Douglas Murray's award acceptance speech. And it was phenomenal. I recommend everyone give it a listen. And he was talking about the war in Israel the past couple of months. And one of the things that he mentioned was that when he was speaking to older Israelis, they were saying that they need to apologize to younger Israelis and the younger generation, because up until this war, they just thought, okay, young Israelis, they're entitled, they don't do anything, they don't know what sacrifice is, they haven't given up themselves, but they've been blown away now by seeing how much the younger generation cares and what the younger generation will do to protect the country. And this was in stark contrast to the American population, where I think under 50% said that if America was attacked, they would stay and help with war efforts. And even lower, I think under 30% in England.
Yeah, the fact that, you know,
people are flocking here to help.
Yeah.
From America, from wherever they were in the world.
Yeah, and, you know, this person, he was saying that, like, he knows he's going to go back and serve, or at least that's what he called back up to do, but he's not fleeing, he's not running away, he's proudly staying here and understands that it's not the end of history, that it's not like we live in some post-war world, and that it takes effort and courage and commitment to uphold a country, to keep this society that we have here functioning and protected.
Were there any other highlights or moments from the Tekes for you? He's reviewing his notes.
I get distracted sometimes during speeches. So I found that if I'm taking notes, that helps me focus and feel less distracted. Maybe we have people taking notes on this podcast.
I doubt it.
One.
No one even listens to this part of the podcast.
There are a few. One other person we heard from was from Sderot. His name was Zev, and he was talking about on October 7th that his son was getting ready to go to shul.
One that's 6.5 years old.
He was helping out to go to shul to set up. But he's like, no, you can't go. Like, there's something happening. It's not safe. Saying how they ended up being in their bomb shelter for a while, and they took out all the knives in their kitchen and they gave them to each one of the kids, and they were nervous and shaking and hard to hear. But he was saying that his dad is a very proud, patriotic Israeli, and that he always told his son, Zeb, that we have the strongest country, we have the strongest army, that, you know, all the people fear us, and that we're, you know, protected and safe here. And the sense of just shattering and no sense of security and feeling nervous about your kids and their safety. And just generally your loved ones, and how he was saying that, you know, the day before he had his neighbor walk his kids to their school, and then the next day that neighbor is killed, and that it just shatters your sense of security.
He said he lost 60 people on October 7th.
And just that destabilizing feeling, and still not feeling stable from the sense of just, the losses. And the world not being as peaceful a place or as secure a place as you imagine can really shake you to your core and make you feel like the ground that you're standing on is not solid, not firm. Such a scary feeling. Have your whole world turned upside down.
I'm mush.
Yeah. Any other reflections that you have?
I mean, I think it's a hard thing to just get up there and share someone's story and share your story, like in a room full of people. It kind of feels like a mini funeral, but it's also not.
It's a memorial service.
But it's just a hard thing for people to be up there, be so vulnerable. But I'm grateful for everybody who did that and helped us remember and keep those names and memories alive.
Yeah. I played a few songs. And one of them was this song that's kind of gone viral, which is Let's Say Me Decon to
Go Out of Depression.
Yeah, to Leave Depression, which was number 75 on the charts in Israel on October 13th, 2023. And it was just kind of a song that had a little blip and then was probably going to fade into oblivion, but it made this whole resurgence when
it's the song that they play behind every soldier coming home and surprises family video. You know, that's that song. You may or may not recognize it. We'll play it after. We'll go look it up.
Yeah. But it's these like videos of families being elated and relieved to see their significant others come back. Their loved ones, kids, parents. And that was like the last song of like, you know, we should leave depressed. And there's also this contrast of like the week before was Yom HaShoah, just like Holocaust Remembrance Day. And that was a time where our people, we couldn't defend ourselves. And now we're at a point where we're defending ourselves. And there is like a difference in like the mourning that happens. But there was something bittersweet about hearing that song because it's the videos of all the people who come back, having the embrace with their loved ones. And then, I don't know, it made me think about all those people who are never going to be able to hug their loved ones again, who didn't have that sense of relief and joy and lifting of the weight of nervousness that the weight kind of fell to the ground and like just the sense of emptiness and the hole that's there. And there are things that fill it and time helps, but yeah, there's just there are so many broken families and friendships and marriages that and weren't able to sing that song. And like the joy of coming back, but also like the devastation of them not coming back. Yeah. One of my friends who we saw over Shabbat, he was telling me that he had to go back. He has two kids, a wife. He was able to get out Thursday night from the army. He was called back for reserve duty. And that he was going back Saturday night, and he said that on Yom HaTzmaut, which is Monday night, Tuesday, that like, whatever you do, you have to do it double. Like, keep me in mind. Like, you do one for yourself, and then one for me, one for yourself, one for me. Like, whatever you're doing, like,
don't get too drunk, though.
But he's saying, like, in terms of dancing, in terms of like, energy, in terms of so. People who are serving, like they're serving with joy. There's a sense of fear and trepidation, but I think they feel a great purpose. And then at the end of the tekes, they sang Hatikva and a few other songs, but like the Hatikva that they sang, for me, it felt really powerful. Did any of the songs get to you?
The They sang Hatikvah, and then they sang Ani Ma'amid, and that was supposed to be the end of it, and someone started singing Achenu, and then everyone joined in, so I'm like, I love that. That one random person that wanted to go a little extra looped everybody in, but then someone else wanted to sing it again, and I was like, dude, this is, that's not it. But nonetheless, it picked back up, and then people joined in. But I do think everyone was thinking what I was thinking. I'm like, again? Were you not thinking that?
I was thinking it, but I was also...
Yeah, I mean, because there was another pause, and they're like, wait, we're doing... Kind of like when the band comes back on stage after you cheer them on, when they leave, and then they come back, and then they leave, and then they come back again. But that usually doesn't happen. It doesn't happen.
Double encore?
Maybe. But it wasn't the main act. It was the first act comes on, and then you're like, what's happening?
But how did it hit you emotionally?
But emotionally, besides for programmatically, where I'm always like, this could be better than that. It was a beautiful tech guess. No, I was just thinking about the contrast between the Yom HaShoah event, Holocaust Remembrance Day, when we introduced the Ani Ma'amin, which is the slow, somber tune that was composed on a cattle car, and the same words, like Ani Ma'amin ben Buna Shalema Mediyat HaMashiach, V'yaf al pi sheit ma'amein kol ze'achak lo b'chol yom she'ado, that I believe in complete faith in the coming of Mashiach, and that even though he may tarry or be delayed, we anticipate him every day. And I think just the contrast between Yom HaZikaron, between Yom HaShoah and the Holocaust and that sad, sad tune, and then Yom HaZikaron, where there's something quite hopeful about that tune, right? Like we're saying, with complete faith, we believe in the coming of the Mashiach. It's coming. It's coming. And I think that, like, the fact that we have the army, the fact that, like, we're fighting for our country, it is the sprouting of the Mashiach that we're seeing unfold before us. Like, it's a miraculous state. And then tomorrow night, we move into Yom HaTzmaut, Israeli Independence Day. So, kind of like riding on that hope.
Hatikva. The hope. Yeah.
Faith. Yeah. Ani Ma'amin.
Yeah, well, there is definitely like a sense of looking forward and a resoluteness,
yeah,
and like a affirmation that we remember what's lost and we cherish what we have and that we continue to push forward despite the losses and like, yeah, to continue to build, continue to grow, hold on to that faith. I hope we all can keep faith, can keep strong. And whether you're in Israel, whether you're outside of Israel, to keep our brothers and sisters who are, feel that sense of duty and honor and purpose to protect the Jewish homeland, the Jewish people, and to keep them in our prayers. All of the hostages, all those who are injured, all of those who are protecting and defending, continue to pray for them and keep them in mind, and to also celebrate the incredible country and state of Israel that we have. And we're so blessed to live in times where Jewish people have a homeland.
And the mothers.
And Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day and happy Hebrew birthday to Eden.
No, but the mothers of the Chatufim, of the captives, the mothers of all the soldiers who have fallen. Like, it's a hard day. And there's a lot of overlap this year, unfortunately.
Yeah. And I was thinking about that with Eden's birthday. All the people who are not going to be able to have kids or whose kids are no longer with them. Like, all those three events today.
Yeah.
Odd thing.
Happy birthday, Eden.
Sarah Tovah.